Well, for those of you who don't know, this is Dusty and Audrey's, one of their annual Mecca weekends where they travel off to somewhere to be with family. So they're at Clark Hill Lake this week. And they've had a good time. They've probably got just the remainder of today, and they'll be pleasantly exhausted, and then they get to pack up and come home tomorrow. So you be praying for them that everybody will be safe on the way back, you know, because it's a labor-intensive thing for Dusty because, like, you know, he is getting older. Right, Mr. Dell? You've seen him age, haven't you? And whenever he comes home from all these family outings, he ends up being kind of the older guy in the family now. You know, he's the one that's responsible, so he has to get all that stuff together and get it all back home. So you be praying for him. I wanted to talk with you about something that I feel like God has been wearing me out about over the last several weeks. This is certainly not anything new, but I wanted to talk with you about it today. It's an appropriate day to be talking about this. God's our Father above every other father. And I think that sometimes we just assume that we don't need to focus on loving Him. That we just assume that His love for us and enjoying and basking in it and just taking for granted His love for us is something we do just way too often. We assume His forgiveness in our lives. We assume His grace. We assume His mercy. And we just assume as much as we want to, whenever we want to, how much we want to. And the reality is we need to be loving Him. That if we don't love Him, then all those other things that we assume don't have the same value, do they? All He wants to hear is that we love Him. It's like any of the other dads in here. You know, all you want to know is that your kids love you. That's what you want to hear. It's what you want to see. When it comes to your kids, nothing else really matters. I believe that's kind of why we're meeting here today. Is because God wants to hear from you and me that we love Him. We can sing, we can listen, and I'm going to get out of here quick today, which is unusual for me. Because I believe that all we've got to do is kind of listen to God a little bit today, hear from His heart, and then I do want to tie it to us dads because I think it's very applicable today. God is our Father, and He wants to know that we love Him. Where I want to start with this today, I guess, comes from the fact that whenever I first came to faith in Jesus, when I was a freshman in college, after some girl stomped my heart flat. Hey, it's what God used. I'll take it, okay? It got me where He wanted me to be. I'm cool with that. But the reality was that even whenever I first came to Him and I knew that I needed to give my life to Him and surrender my life to Him and that He knew the best for me, there was still this really weird thing about how do you love God? See, I was thinking, you know, a woman or a girl could love God and there was no weird thing to it, okay? But here I was a guy and I had to kind of get through, what does that mean? Maybe you're not silly like me. And it's taken me 32 years and I'm still getting my hand around what does it mean to love God? What does that look like? How does it feel? What is all that encompasses in doing this thing that I'm supposed to do, which is love God? Because the Bible tells me that is what I'm supposed to do, right? It's what the Bible tells you you're supposed to do. You're supposed to love God. So as we move into what I want to talk about today with you, yeah, you can leave that there for just a second. I want to tell you that the hot button reason that I wanted to talk about this is not pretty. The hot button reason is I see a whole lot of flirting going on between the people that are supposed to love God and with anything else. That make sense to you? I see a whole lot of flirting going on. And in fifth grade terms, if I was talking to my buddy in fifth grade, you know, when it comes right down to it, how can you flirt on somebody that you say you love with no check in your spirit or no thought about it whatsoever? You just can't do that if you really love them, right? And since it's Father's Day, we're going to tie this to Father's Day. So we'll get there. First point, your love for God matters. That makes sense? Whenever Jesus was, I guess you could say, confronted by some scribes and Pharisees, this is what we see in Matthew chapter 22, verse 34 through 40. Hearing that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees, see, the Pharisees were feeling good about themselves. They weren't Sadducees, okay? That was them. He put them in their place. Here come the Pharisees. Pharisees got together, and one of them, an expert of the law, tested him with this question. Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? And Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. I hope that you understand clearly how many times Jesus used the word all in that response. How many times? Can you count them? All? I don't know. Three? Four? Four? You love God when all of you, all that you are, is invested in pursuing Him and pleasing Him. Guys, when we were wooing our wives, nothing else mattered. Hey guys, I didn't watch football for a long time. Regina didn't think I liked football. Because I don't think we watched a game until we got married. Nothing else mattered, you see. It was a matter of focus. When you're focused on, when you're focused on pleasing, wooing, winning, loving, you'll give up things that you think are important to you or have been important to you, will you not? We are to love the Lord with all of our energy. We are to love the Lord with all of our time. We are to love the Lord with all of our money, with all of our stuff, and all of our attention. How much of that is left out, folks? In that little word, all. Is it except? You ever see the word except there? Except when? Except because? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, all the time. It is important. Our love for God matters to God. He really doesn't care about a whole lot else when it comes down to it. That was why Jesus had to come and reinterpret the law for all the knuckleheads. Because it just came down to, do you love God and does your life show it? Simple. All right, so our love for God definitely matters. Now the key is here, it doesn't matter which one of the grids we're talking about any of your behaviors might fit into, it matters that you love God more than anything else. Bottom line. And when you look at your behavior in the last 4 weeks, just the last 4 weeks, does your pattern of life demonstrate that you really love God? If it's a matter of all, do you love God? Do you love His plans for you? Do you love His purpose for your life? Do you love God? He's with us today and He wants to know. Now, we've got to ask these questions. And the reason we've got to ask the questions, even though they're hard, is because, next slide, we live in a time when love for Jesus, love for God, love for the Spirit is essential. It's not something that we can just say we want to do whenever we feel like it or when it's convenient. We just don't live in those kind of days. So let's look for just a second at another passage. This one is from Matthew 24. I'm going to read from verse 4 through 14. It's on these slides. Jesus answered, "Watch out that no one deceives you, for many will come in my name claiming I am the Christ, and will deceive many. You'll hear of wars and rumors of wars, but see to it that you are not alarmed. Such things must happen, but the end is still to come. Nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines and earthquakes in various places. All these are just," what? "The beginning of birth pangs. Then you'll be handed over to be persecuted and put to death, and you'll be hated by all nations because of me. And at that time, many will turn away from the faith and will betray and hate one another, hate each other. And many false prophets will appear and deceive many people. Because of the increase of wickedness, the love of most will do what? Grow cold. But he who stands firm to the end will be saved." That's saying those people whose love stays hot, those are the folks that make it. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all nations. And then the end will come. We live in this kind of a time. You see it again in another passage in 1 Peter, verses 4, 7, and 8. Peter said, "The end of all things is near. Therefore, be clear-minded and self-controlled so that you can pray. Above all," that little word keeps coming up, huh? All? Above all? "Love each other deeply, because love covers a multitude of sins." The reality is, in the days that we live in, it's going to be harder to love others. It's going to be harder. It's going to be harder than it ever has been before. I'm not saying it wasn't hard 3 years ago, but it's going to be harder 3 years from now. It'll be more tricky. It'll be less simple. It'll be a lot more costly. Love is going to be a challenge in the days that we live in. When everyone else is growing cold in their love, when everyone else is turning on each other, when everyone else is in the middle of chaos, the reality is you and I have to stand firmly planted and committed on love in spite of the circumstances that we find ourselves in. That's where we have to be. Why? Well, if we look at the last verse there that Peter mentioned, it's because love changes things. Love transforms things. And where you see love, you find forgiveness, right? And where you find forgiveness, you find people whose lives have been changed. The trajectories of what they're doing is not where they were then before they found forgiveness and love and transformation. In the middle of the kind of days that we live in, that's what people need to see. Love is going to be hard, but it is the highest call that we are going to have. And that is to love in spite of whatever gets thrown at us. Loving God first, but like the great commandment says, it pours out into the way we love other people. Because how can we love the Father we haven't seen unless we can love our brother that we have seen? The next truth is, you just can't love God from a distance. If you look at Hebrews chapter 10, looking at verses 19 through 25. The writer to Hebrews said, "Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain, that is, His body." Now please pay attention because I'm going to get there. It's very important. His body is a very important little phrase. His body. "And since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience, and having our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for He who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. Let us not give up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching." Can you see the day approaching? If you look at this passage, and the truth is, I can come up with a very, very biblical system for you of verses that would support what I'm about to say. And if you want me to do it, I'll do it. Better yet, why don't you go hunt it? Here's what I want you to do. I want you to go find in the Bible where it says that the body of Christ is optional. In fact, what I'm telling you is that the body of Jesus is essential. And that there is no out. And the reality is, even if in the body of Christ, all we get to do is learn how to forgive people who hurt us, we're becoming more like Jesus by doing it. And now, I don't see it in this church, but I've been in churches where that was just about the only way I grew, was because I had to learn how to love people who had it out for me. And if that's all you get in church, that's something. The reality is, you and I cannot be more like Jesus without each other. And we've got to love God more and more together in order for us to become more and more like Jesus in the days we live in. We've got to share our lives more than we've shared them before. And we're going to be challenged to do it. Sometimes it's going to be necessity. Because the days that we are facing are not going to get any simpler. We need one another desperately. And you know what? If we're going to hold... Do this for me. Clench your hands for a second. Squeeze them like you got something in them. And don't let go for a little while. Keep going. Squeeze hard. Try to open your hand. Is it hard? Okay, it's hard, isn't it? You have to force. Okay. That's what happens when God gives us stuff and gives us who we are, and we hold on to it like we own it. And we act like we can choose when to surrender it to Him. It's hard to open your hand. We have to open our hands and give Him all of us. Love Him with all we are. Not holding anything back. Because we are going to need one another. And if we don't live life and share life together, we will not be who God wants us to be. And quite frankly, we're just playing a game. Love God with all your heart, your soul, your mind, and your strength. What did Jesus say was going to be the mark of His disciples? Anybody remember? How you love one another. Would somebody be able to observe our week and say, "Man, I can see how they love one another because I can see it in the way they lived this week. Their life was shared with all these other people in this week. No, don't misunderstand me. I'm not saying just us. I'm talking about the way we share our lives with others as well. Other believers, others that we're building relationships with, others that we're trying to bring into the kingdom. Are we sharing? But the truth is, there's nothing that we can do to grow unless we are a part of the body. That word, the body. See if we can draw this connection for a second. The body of Jesus is the hands and feet of Jesus in the earth, right? So, if you are a part of Him and He lives in you, how can you not want to be associated with or connected to the body in a passionate way? Does it make sense to you? Doesn't make sense to me. Can we treat each other in a laissez-faire way? That we don't matter. That it doesn't matter if we gather together. It doesn't matter if we share our lives. It does matter. In fact, we're called to do it by virtue of the fact that He's come to live in us. Can't love God from a distance. Next. Stop flirting. Stop flirting with other loves. He says that in Revelation chapter 2. He's writing a letter to the church in Ephesus. I'm going to kind of jump down a little bit. He says in verse 2, I know your deeds, your hard work, and your perseverance. I know that you cannot tolerate wicked men, and that you have tested those who claim to be apostles but are not, and you found them false. You have persevered and have endured hardships for my name, and you have not grown weary. Yet, I hold this against you. You've forsaken your first love. Remember the height from which you have fallen. Repent and do the things you did at first. If you do not repent, I will come to you and remove your lampstand from its place. Got an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Verse 7. To him who overcomes, I will give the right to eat from the tree of life, which is in the paradise of God. Bottom line, flirting with anything will not lead you to a love relationship with God. Anything. Now, what do I mean when I'm talking about flirting? Do I need to fill that in for you a little bit? How about things that are not bad, but they dictate your life so that you end up thinking it's okay and optional to love God and to serve God and to be with God's people? Anything that tells you it's okay is not God. I'm not being legalistic. I am not trying to put a guilt trip on you. What I'm saying is, where's your heart? If it doesn't matter to you, there is a love issue between you and God that you've got to deal with. Is love for God optional? If your love for God is optional, then you've got to go deal with Him about that. And there is nothing else more important. So this morning, if you're here and you've got a love issue with God, I encourage you to deal with God about your love issue today. Ask Him to enable you to love Him with all you are, all you have, all your energy, all your time. And if you're like the folks that John was writing to in Ephesus, saying that they've kind of been so busy, so distracted, and good things have become more important to you than loving God, find your heart. Come back to that. Because nothing else is more important. Stop flirting. I heard a little thing several years ago. You've probably heard this before too. The problem with our culture is that we worship our work. Okay? We worship our work. We work at our play, and we play at our worship. Things are out of kilter. Worship our work. Work at our play. Play at our worship. Any good thing that dictates your life so that the thing that controls your life is not a relationship with God, that thing is not good. And you're flirting. Just call it as it is. All your friends can see you're flirting. And the one that loves you and wants you to say, I love you, sees it too. Well, how does all this come to bear upon Father's Day? Well, let's look at a couple of passages and then I want to make a couple of statements. Passage that's from Deuteronomy chapter 6. This is one of the first things that Moses told the people after God had given him the law. One of the very first things he said. He said, these are the commands and the decrees and the laws the Lord your God directed me to teach you to observe in the land that you are crossing the Jordan to possess, so that you, your children, and their children after them may fear the Lord your God as long as you live by keeping all His decrees and commands that I give you, and so that you may enjoy long life. Hear, O Israel, and be careful to obey so that it may go well with you and that you may increase greatly in the land flowing with milk and honey. And just as the Lord, the God of your fathers, promised you. Hear, O Israel. This is what we call the Shema, for those of you who may not know that. It's when you see all the Hasidic Jews, and you see the little leather tassels that are attached to their arms and their foreheads, and you see them hanging off the tassels of their clothing. The Shema is written on parchment, rolled up, and put in those little leather cases. This is what's there. The Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be upon your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. You see why the Hasidic Jews do that? The idea is, dads, we are the ones who reveal the love of God to our families. We're the number one guys. And the problem in culture, when you don't have fathers, is that you don't have people representing God to the family. You can't see the love of God. You can't love God when you don't know there's a God there to love. Absentee dad. Now, understand that the one who's talking to you has had to deal with father stuff all his life. Okay? I'm learning how to be a dad because my dad didn't live in my house from the time that I was 10 on. I didn't have that. I don't understand it. Some of you understand it better than me, and some of you have been my brothers who have helped me understand all this better. And I'm appreciative of that. Because I need you. I need you to love God with all your heart so that I can understand better how to be a good dad and love God with all my heart and how to reflect that to my kids. That's what we're supposed to do. And later, Paul writes a little encouragement to fathers as well in Ephesians chapter 6. He says, fathers, don't exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and the instruction of the Lord. When he talks about that, he's saying, you reflect the love of God to your family. You are the one that they see. Just like Moses was saying, whether you're walking on the street, whether you're hanging out at home, sitting on the couch, whatever you're doing, you are the living embodiment of the love of God. There's nothing better to talk about on Father's Day. There's no greater calling. So we've got to demonstrate and model for our families what it means to love God, and we can't ignore it. The problem is, I believe in our culture, we've pretty much ignored it. So we have dads that can go off and do their own thing. And, you know, that was big in the 60s, find your own way and all that stuff. And there were plenty of moms doing it too, but loving God is critical. So this morning, whatever your situation is, whether you're realizing, I don't know how to love God, and I need to love God. I want to love God, and I want God to show me how. Maybe that's what you need to ask Him to do today. If you've loved God, but for some reason your love has got choked out, distracted, has become of secondary importance to you, and you need to return to your first love, maybe that's where you need to deal with God today. Or maybe it's just a matter of, God, I think I understand what this is all about, but I want to love more. I want to be more generous. I want to be more kind. I want to be more helpful. Whatever. The important thing is that God wants us to demonstrate this love. Because love that's not demonstrated, there's nothing biblical about it. Love in the Bible is always demonstrated. I want us to be able to look to our left and to our right, guys, and to be able to say, I am willing to sacrifice for my family. I'm willing to sacrifice for the people around me. Because I understand that there's going to be a day where the person beside me, I may need them to sacrifice for me. That's the kind of life we have to share. Because those are the kind of days we live in. Have you heard from God today? God's speaking to you. Whatever it is, even if it had nothing to do with what I said, I can live with it. The important thing is you heard from God. So you've got an invitation. The invitation is, if you need to come forward and you need to ask God to help you find that love for Him that you need, that He deserves, you can ask Him to do that. You can do it where you are, but you can come up here too. It doesn't matter. You need somebody to pray with you about that. There'll be people around in just a minute who can pray with you about that. You lost your love. It's got snuffed out. You can do the same thing. This is a time, it's an opportunity, and God is saying, come on, climb up in my lap and tell me how much you love me. So Kenny, why don't you guys come on up and let's pray. Lord God, we just want to tell you that we understand how much you've done for us. We know that you love us sacrificially. We know that you loved us and have demonstrated your love for us intentionally hundreds and hundreds of times in our life, thousands of times in our life. Every time we wake up and we get to face a new day, it is a great gift and blessing. Lord, we understand that all good and perfect gifts are from you. And Lord, I'm praying now that you would expand our hearts, that Lord, you would fill us with love for you, an intense love for you. Now, Lord, we will seek you with all that we are. And that, Lord, you would help us to remove anything that comes in the way of us loving you. This is your time. You seek God. and let Him speak to you, and you respond to what He's saying to you.